listeners, you are listening to another episode of That's Entertainment. I am your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone, and with me as always, live from Hampton, Maine, is my Aunt Beth Woods. Aunt Beth, it is March. We've made it. How are you?
Good. It's still, we got a long way to go in Maine. You said we made it, but I always like when I turn the calendar to April, but we're covered in snow still. So
I think we're done for this year, but I always some random cold day in April, but we are supposed to get up into the 60s on Sunday.
Okay. So. Do you ever get snow? And have you ever had snow in April?
I think the year I moved to Brooklyn, that was 2016. I remember one April day where there was just a coating overnight.
Oh, okay.
No major storm, but that's the most I remember.
Yeah, we've gotten a few big ones 2 years ago, right after the pandemic started, right around Easter. We got a huge, like a foot of snow. So I don't like those April ones because you're so tired of the snow by then. So, well, I'll wait till you introduce. I was going to talk to our guest, but about something.
Yes. Well, it is appropriate that we're talking about snow, even though we are looking eagerly forward to spring. We're looking backward a bit at the just recently completed Winter Olympics, but we're also looking around to like the complete other side of the world, not just Beijing where the games were held, but also down under, because our guest live from Melbourne, Australia, it's Jack, one of the co-hosts of the Greendale Human Podcasters podcast. Jack, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
And,
I was going to ask you what's your weather right now?
So we're the opposite to you guys.
Yeah.
So we're just coming into fall or autumn. And so things are starting to get cold. It's been not too bad here. But I don't know how much of it made the news for you guys, but we've been having flood, not specifically Melbourne. Melbourne's been fine, but Sydney and Brisbane and all the way up that northern coast has all been flooded recently over the last couple of weeks. So like really bad. So sort of heavy rains, and we've had a really cold summer here compared to what we usually get. Sometimes we get days in the, well, I'm going to say 40s. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Probably should look that up. But we get really hot days.
It's in the 90s Fahrenheit, so that's pretty hot.
Yeah.
So we had none of those days this year. Sort of, we were just roughly in the 30s. It's been pretty cool. But we don't get snow. So I don't have those familiar problems.
Yeah.
We just don't get snow here. Oh. Not in the city, up in the hills, but not in town.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, you don't get snow, but your country still sends some athletes to the Winter Olympics. So.
Yeah, definitely.
We were talking before we started recording. I spent some time myself in Melbourne 13 years ago. I was abroad. And when I got there, I got there at the middle of February, and it had just been like a season of wildfires a few weeks ago. So that was like a dry and hot summer, but it sounds like you didn't have that too much this year.
No, definitely not. We've been in a La Nina, so it's been really cold and a little bit wet. And it's been a fairly different summer. Aside from all the other, you know, spicy cough going around and all those problems. But it's been a very, very weird summer for us down here.
Sounds like it. Yeah. We don't want to spend too much talking about the weather. We want to dive right into our main topic at hand, because Aunt Beth has some, plans that she wants to get to. She said she's going to a movie, and I believe her. She is a frequent moviegoer, and we don't want to hold her up too much. We want her to have more to talk about our next episode. On That's Entertainment, we always pick a pop culture topic and discuss it according to the three F's. First, favorite, already mentioned, we're talking about the Winter Olympics, not the summer. We might cover those in a future episode, but there's plenty to talk about just the winter. So figured we could get a whole entire episode about it. Yeah, I think so. That's the prelude. I'll do a little intro to set the tone and then we'll go ahead. All right. So here comes that intro. Fair warning, I'm about to do my best John Williams impression. I was inspired by his theme music to the Olympics, so we'll see how it goes. I'm going to give it my all. I hope my co-host and guest can handle it. Okay. Dun, 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 dun. Skiing, bobsled, and snowboards. Curling, hockey, luge, and skeleton too. Nordic combined and ski jumps, even some skating and athletic true. Okay.
You're pretty good.
Thank you. All right. That's the Winter Olympics for you. If you didn't know, now you know. And we're going to talk about what the three of us, three people who are citizens of Earth, think about this quadrennial event that shows off some of the most athletically skilled people on the planet. And as usual, we'll start first with the section called First, where we talk about our earliest memories. So what are our earliest memories of watching the Winter Olympics? And do we consider it must-see TV? And how does it compare for us? Is it more than, less than, or the same as the Summer Games in terms of must-watchability for us? We'll let our guests go first. Jack, what do you have to say about all that?
In terms of first, I know you guys normally do pop culture, so I guess my earliest memory of the Winter Olympics wasn't actually the Winter Olympics. It was, you know, I'm 30, so I'm right in that right age for Cool Runnings. Cool Runnings was the first movie I ever saw, and so that was kind of my introduction to the Winter Olympics, even without it being the actual Winter Olympics. And I was at the gym this year when I looked up and the bobsledding was on and I saw the four-man Jamaican bobsled team was actually competing this year. And I nearly lost my shit. So I was so excited. In terms of must-see TV, I know, Jeff, we spoke about just before we started recording the whole time zone issue when you were in Melbourne. Time zones are a big problem for us down here with watching things. This year was really easy because it was in China and China's only 3 hours behind us. So that was really, really convenient for us to watch. But it really depends where it is in the world and whether it's on in 2 a.m. or not. I guess that makes it quite challenging for us. And then it's similar to with the, you know, I enjoy the Winter Games, but we don't get snow here a lot. I've never been skiing. I've never been snowboarding. I've been to the snow, but for us, it's a challenge. Where I am in Melbourne, it's a couple-hour drive to get to actual snow in winter. So it's not as familiar to us as it probably is to you guys. I know you guys are talking about having to shovel driveways and deal with it on a daily basis, and we just don't have that familiarity. So I guess the Summer Games is kind of a bit more familiar to myself personally. But yeah, it's a weird juxtaposition, I think, depending on which side of the world you are.
Yeah. Well, you did mention something that I kind of had in my notes for later, but I'll bring it up now. So like, what is the broadcasting of the Olympics like in Australia? Do they have stuff live or do they have like pre-taped packages for primetime showings?
I guess it depends which time it is. So like this year, a lot of live stuff. One of our commercial channels, Channel 7 over here, had the rights this year. So if you go on their main channel, you could watch whatever they are picking to show if you're actually on the physical TV. But if you log on to their web portal, you can see, you know, what's live at the moment and whether they're showing it. And most events have some sort of coverage. And yeah, you can pick your event to watch live. And then there's a lot of highlights and all that sort of stuff.
All right. Yeah.
Sounds similar to ours.
Yeah. All right, Aunt Beth, what are your earliest memories?
Well, I feel like you always get to point out how much older I am than you because I've started. So the first memory I have is was in 1968. And I remember, I don't remember too much about it except watching Peggy Fleming win the gold medal in women's figure skating. That's the only thing I remember. So maybe my parents had it on. Probably wasn't until about 8 years later that I started really watching it, but that event stuck in my mind. And it is a must see for me. I do enjoy it, but I do DVR it now. And then I tend to skip through things that I am not as interested in. And like Jack was saying that whatever, if you're watching it on, like we get it on NBC, they choose, I guess, what they're going to highlight. And so that's really what I tend to watch. I don't look for live events, or I just don't have the time to. I mean, I'm sure you could watch every event if you really wanted to, but I sort of liked their coverage because it seemed like, you know, they definitely spend more time on what they think is popular, but I also think I got a good variety of things to watch.
Do you guys find that they tend to show just more, like, I know our coverage here is very Australia focused. Like they'll show a lot of events that Australians are competing in. Do you find that they mostly focus on the US
and the US part, competitors? Yeah. Especially with the NBC, with the primetime coverage, like some other channels that if so USA and CNBC, they're owned by the same conglomerate as NBC. They'll have, I guess, like the lesser sports, the less popular sports, and you might get more of a variety there. Still somewhat US focused, but not as much as the main coverage on NBC.
Yeah, I think they figure that's what people want to see, so that's what they show.
Sorry to interrupt.
And I enjoy the Summer Olympics more just because of the different events. I mean, we do have snow here, but I'm not a snow person as far as doing any of those sports. Although I guess I don't do the summer sports either, but I mean, I like the figure skating and some of the skiing, but I really do enjoy the gymnastics and swimming, track and field and diving, volleyball, all that, which is in the summer. So I probably do prefer that more. And plus we do better. The US does much better in the Summer Olympics than the winter. So that's also a plus.
Yes, Norway is kicking all of our butts in the winter games.
I guess when you have winter for most of the year, it helps.
Sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
You're fine. I was just saying that I guess if you've got winter for most of the year, then that probably helps.
Yes, for sure, where they are.
Yeah.
But my mom was half Norwegian. So Jeff, you've got Norwegian in you. So we root for them too in the winter. Yeah.
I guess maybe I should put that to use and start picking up skiing or something.
I know.
My earliest memory, very specific memory, was from the 98 Nagano Games when I was 10. And so that was a similar time difference for us as the Beijing Games were this year. And they were in the habit of that, the TV coverage would say, we've got the results from tape delay tonight. So if you don't want to know ahead of time, look away, but we're about to show you like who just won the women's figure skating. So it showed Tara Lipinski won. And it was supposed to be a big battle between her and Michelle Kwan. Michelle got the silver. And I remembered mentioning that at the dinner table, kind of spoiling it for my mom, who's definitely the biggest figure skating fan in our family. And my mom's kind of funny about watching sports. She likes to tape stuff and find out who wins and then still watch it, because then she doesn't have to be stressed out about whether or not about worrying about how the results will go. I did spoil her, but I don't think she was too upset about that, fortunately. Yeah, it's definitely must-see TV for me. I mean, I like to give my sport that's available to be watched some time of day from me. But the difference, the big difference between that and the summer games is that there tends to be less competition for the summer games than there are with the winter games. Like, it's, you know, TV is still, it's not back in the old days where there was only reruns on during the summer, but.
Oh, that kind of competition.
That's what I mean.
Okay.
But yeah, I'd say
that's true.
There's more new TV airing in February than there is in July or August.
Mm-hmm.
If I had my way, the rest of TV would shut down for 2 weeks while the Olympics are going on, so I could just focus on that. But despite that competition for my attention, I still have some great memories of watching, and I think that'll bring us to our next section, the favorite section, where we discuss our favorite Winter Olympics related memories of all time. So we'll swing it back around to you, Jack. What are your faves of all time?
Well, all time is, it's more for me about, like, I don't really have too many favorites of all time. Like, the one thing that really sticks out to me is our first Olympic medal, which was only 2002. So our first gold. So it was fairly recent, but Blake named
Stephen. And what was that? What was it in?
So speed skating. Stephen Bradbury won a very famous, famous for us anyway, speed skating thing where the three guys ahead of him all fell over and he just rolled over and got the gold. So I'm sure he was, you know, very quick and all those sorts of things, but he kind of, he just waltzed on through, and he was no way going to get a medal before that until they all took each other out
And they talk about a miracle on ice in 1980. I've seen another miracle on ice tonight.
So that's quite famous footage down here. It's actually known now as if you just come from behind and everyone kind of wipes each other out for some unknown reason and you just win something, it's a Stephen Bradbury. So so that really stands out. But then I just enjoy watching it. Like, I don't, for me, it's all about which events I like to see. I'm a big fan of all the sliding events, and I know you've got a sliding event in your background there, Jeff. There you go. So I really enjoy those. I enjoy, like, the biathlon where they, you know, they ski around and then have to slow themselves down and shoot. That's really cool. Just that control of their bodies. I love to watch it, but I really don't understand, like, the aerial stuff. Anything that's not fastest or, you know, there's no solid rules to. And I don't know that there are rules to these competitions, but when they would just, you know, they go up and they perform all their tricks and I go, I don't understand what you did, and I don't understand how that was better than the last lady or the last bloke or how all that works. And then the scoring, it all looks pretty and I can tell when they land it really well, but I really don't understand how the rest of it works enough to, like, I can just appreciate the work and effort that went into all of that. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, here, I know we talked about climates and stuff. The guys here don't train with, you know, jumping into snow and in those conditions. They have ramps and that they make themselves and stuff. And then they either go into water, they go into like a little lake, or they go into foam, because that's how they have to train, because we don't have the snow to actually land on. So,
this year the snow was artificial at the actual games.
Yeah. So. And it was weird this year. I don't know, we'll probably get on to this year, but this year was really weird seeing some, like, I really enjoy, I'm a big sports fan. I watch a lot of sport throughout the year. I love watching the Tour de France every year because of the scenery and, you know, as well as the tactics and stuff with the cycling, but it's a different note. But this year, the scenery was really weird. And I'm I don't know if you guys noticed that when they, you know, especially like where they were doing all the aerials, they, you know, it was just like power plants and stuff in the background, as opposed to, you know, a lot of the time they hold the Winter Olympics in places surrounded by forests.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's a sign of how even further industrialized we are as a society.
Well, I have a couple. Were you done, Jack, or were you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. At first, I was thinking, oh, I'm not going to be able to remember. And then I did. My number one favorite memory has to be the 1980 Miracle on Ice hockey game.
Were you watching live?
Yes. So I would have been 24. I was in Massachusetts at the time. So it was between the Soviet Union and the U.S. It actually wasn't even the final game, but it was before the pros were allowed to play. Well, I guess what I was reading, I think the Russian team had some professional sports, but the U.S. didn't. I wasn't even a hockey fan at the time. Since then, since my family has kind of forced me to, but at the time I wasn't. But even, I mean, it was just so exciting that you couldn't help but, I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, later we watched a documentary about it, and it's still, you could just see how exciting it was. And it since has been called like the, I forget what the title is, you probably know, Jeff, like the best or most important event in sports history or something like that, that they've named it. But it was,
I know,
just,
it's called the Miracle on Ice. And
well, that, yeah, yeah, but they also, it's named, if you look, you'll see something else about it. Just people went crazy that, you know, the Soviet Union were the favorites to win. And when we won, it was just unbelievable.
There's so a really cool ESPN 30 for 30 from the other side, from the, you know, they interviewed a lot of the Russians and from that was on that, because it, like, that's a huge story over the world. I'm fairly familiar with it. I've seen a few documentaries on it because it's a really cool story, especially from the American perspective. But it was, I just was flicking through some stuff one day and saw a 30 for 30 from the Russian point of view of it, which was also really interesting because, like you said, they were the favorites and they were supposed to be this superpower and there was so much force behind them. And then the US came out and played this super different style and they just couldn't match it. And it was really interesting.
That would be interesting. I should look for that. Yeah. Cause we always just see, you know, our point of view. So, but yeah, that's probably my top. And, then other favorites, I didn't have specific, but I remember, cause I think my daughter watched when Apollo Ono, won so many short track speed skating medals. And he just, I don't know, something about him, he just had so much charisma. And then also I've just always loved watching Shaun White. I just feel like he's really classy. Something about him is really classy. And then I mentioned something that you said, a fun memory is the Jamaican bobsled team, which is it says 1988, I think, was the first time they competed.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
And it was just fun because it's just so different. And then anytime there's an underdog story, you know, they'll show somebody's about to do their event and then they'll do a little background, and then of course you start rooting for that person because you find out, you know, more about them. And so those are some of my favorite moments.
Hey, well, I'll have to second some of the things that have already been mentioned. My favorite memory that's not the Olympics actually, but inspired by the Olympics, as Jack said, as and Beth just mentioned, the Jamaican bobsled team story was told in the movie Cold Runnings. And I think, you know, that's maybe top five sports movies for me of all time. Definitely way up there. Excellent performance from John Candy. Very fictionalized version, but still inspiring, still a great watch for anyone who hasn't seen it, or for anyone who has seen it, watch it again. And then also second enjoyment of Shaun White, especially his 2010 gold medal winning performance in the half pipe. And this was my senior year of college, so I believe I was watching in my dorm room. And he was the last one to go in the final run, but they take this, they just take this, your best score. So if you wipe out on one of the runs, they just get rid of that. But so he, his first run was the highest rated score up to at that point. So he didn't need to do anything. He just had to complete the run. He could just, you know, do no tricks. But instead, he does an even more ambitious run than his first run, gets an even higher score. It was just for the glory. Everyone was loving it.
And that is what the fans wanted to see. Shaun White, double gold. Boy, does he deliver.
Okay, this is special. You're getting to see one of the living legends of the sport get to do his stuff. And the other moment that comes to mind that really put a big smile on my face, 2018, when the U.S. men's curling team won gold.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to a 5-point shot. Usually in curling, you get 1 or 2 points per round, maybe 3, sometimes 4. This time, the U.S. got 5 points. And, you know, curling's a funny sport. It's like I didn't know anything about it before I started watching it on the Olympics. And then, like, every 4 years, I become an expert. And it was like, you know, there was a time where I would have seen these rocks collide and had no idea what that meant, whether or not that was even good or bad. But here I knew. I think John Schuster was the skip of the U.S. team, and he threw the rock. I knew just like that was, I knew immediately like that was the shot of his career.
I wish I did know more about it because, you know, people always kind of make fun of it, but it does, I should read up about it because it does look kind of interesting, but yeah, I remember
they do a good job of explaining it during the coverage. So
yeah, curling is a sport that I've never fully understood. To me, it's just like bowls. It's winter bowls.
It's kind of like bocce ball, sort of. It look on ice.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay, so those are our favorites. And now we come to the point of the show where we throw out some trivia. So I've got a question. Beth and Jack, did you come up with a question as well?
Yep.
All right.
We'll let you go first again, Jack. What have you got for us?
Well, I'll go on the Australian side of things. How many Winter Olympic medals do you think Australia has won? So I'll give you a hint that we only started winning. Our first goal was 2002 at Salt Lake City.
So it's been 20 years. Huh.
Okay. So I had a 2-part question and that was actually one of the
parts.
That was
one of yours too. Okay.
I'll not look at my answer. I'll see if I can remember it, but Aunt Beth, I'll let you go guess first.
Okay. I'm going to guess. So they won their first one. I'll say 48.
Okay, I'm gonna guess.
Just to guess.
I'm gonna see if I remember
actually,
correctly.
Actually, that's high, but
and uh-huh. I'll say 35.
Nice. We're good, but we're not that. Well, we're not really that good. But we've had 19 Winter Olympics.
19. Okay.
Yeah. So 6 gold, 7 silver, and 6 bronze.
But I bet have you compared that to the summer? That they do pretty well in the summer, don't you?
We do pretty well in the summer, yeah. Well above our weight considering the population that we have.
Yeah. Okay, 19. I read a lot, but this isn't the most exciting question, but I don't think I would have known it though. What is the oldest Winter Olympic sport?
In terms of how long it's been played at the Olympics or just in terms?
Well, that's what I'm assuming. Okay. And this is according to, you know, I looked up trivia, so started and I can
tell you. What
about
the cross country?
It started in 1908.
Okay. Jack says cross country skiing. I'm going to agree. I'll say that as well.
It's actually figure skating. Yeah, I was surprised by that. I didn't think that would
be. I guess it makes sense. Like, those two would be the old, like, as long as people have been skiing, they've been cross-country skiing. But as long as people have been skating, I guess they've been dancing on the ice. So yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, 1908. Okay, so you have a two-parter, Jeff?
Yes, I had a two-parter, and Jack already took the first part. And I'm looking at the other part, and I know why I guessed what I did. My question was, how many total Winter Olympics medals have been won by the United States and Australia? Came up with that question since we had Americans and an Australian on this episode. So we already know, thanks to Jack, that Australia's total is 19. So what do you think the U.S. all-time total is?
All-time, wow.
I'd hopefully say that it's much higher than the Australian.
I'll give you that hint. It is higher than Australia's total of 19.
And what year did the Olympics start?
Let's see. I think it might have been what you just said. 1908.
So let's see. 100 years.
No, actually 1924. So I guess that 1908 meant it was it's older than the Olympics, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Was that what meant?
24. So we'll say about 25 years, and they win three. I'm going to say 600.
Yeah, well, I was going to go closer to five, but I'm probably low.
500. Well, you are both over. I do not play by Price is Right rules, so whoever's closer gets the more applause. So, Jack, you were closer. It's 330.
Oh, okay. I thought more, because there's been that would mean there's about 25 Olympics since that. It's almost 100 years.
Right.
So I was thinking, I thought we got about over 30. Almost, well, I guess maybe way back then we didn't get that many. So yeah,
I guess there's less events, like a lot less events in the winter compared to the summer. And I'm you know, like, I know that what the totals are in the summer, like there's, you know, hundreds of medals won, as opposed to the winter where there's obviously a lot less. So
yeah,
okay. I think there's more than there used to be. I imagine that would be the case.
They don't drop off events like they do in the summer, I don't think. I think they just really keep adding events to the winter.
Okay.
All right. Well, that brings us to the forever section, in which we take stock of where we are now. So where we are now, we recently wrapped up the 22 Winter Games at Beijing. Let's see, Norway. As usual, won the most medals, 37 overall, 16 golds. Germany was second with, the table I was looking at had it in order of golds. The Russian Olympic Committee, not really Russia, they were second with 32 medals. Germany was third with 27. The US was fourth with 25, and let me see here. I'm only showing the top 10. Jack, do you know offhand how many Australia won this year?
Yes, I do. Four.
Four. All right.
Four medals.
Okay, so that's the some of the key statistics for this year. What did we think of? What were our particular reactions? What were our most memorable moments? And Jack, what do you have to say about that?
I really enjoyed watching this year's. I only caught snippets of it, busy after lockdowns and all that jazz. We've been able to get out and do things and see people, so the Winter Olympics unfortunately fell into that period where we weren't, you know, the Summer Olympics, we got to sit home and there was nothing else on and it was great. You watch as much as you want, but it wasn't as high of a priority this year. But still watching, you know, the standard events that I like to watch was really cool. Just, you know, watching the bobsled and just watching all those events that I really enjoy was probably the highlight. Like I said, I know that Australia won a few medals and that was really cool. I got to see, I can't remember her name now. What was the half American, half Chinese?
Elaine Wu.
Eileen Gu.
Yeah, I watched her win gold. That was really cool.
Yeah, I liked her a lot.
That was really impressive to watch because, you know, they had both the American side and the Chinese side. And obviously she was competing for China, but sort of both countries were behind her. And that was really interesting. So that was kind of a highlight to see. How do you guys feel about the, yeah, I know you touched on it before, the Russian Olympic Committee as opposed to the Russians, and I know the history there with obviously Sochi and, you know, the Summer Games and those guys competing, aside from current tensions. Let's leave that alone.
A lot to get into there.
I don't want to get into the whole thing, but that brings up the whole story. That was one of my most memorable storylines, is the ROC figure skater, Kamila Vilieva. Mm-hmm. Just the whole thing of that, her testing positive and then the whole fallout afterwards. And I said, even if you don't get into the politics of the decision, I just thought it was just sad watching her skate in the finals and the pressure she must have felt. And I don't even know. I don't know what I've heard people say, so many different things, but it just seems like she didn't have the support or guidance that she should have had. And boy, if you ask Jeff's dad, I think he'd have a lot to say about it though, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's something we talk about. I mean, we have similar opinions. I think I'm more forgiving, but I mean, I think that the Russian officials should face more consequences than they have. Like this Russian Olympic Committee business, it's like a punishment that's not really a punishment. I mean, I can understand wanting to let individual athletes compete who haven't tested positive for any drugs, because I don't think that every Russian athlete automatically supports what the Russian officials are doing. But like,
I watch a lot of sport, and I just think at these days and the lengths I've gone to, it's kind of like the cycling, like it's kind of too hard to tell. On that note about Aunt Beth that you mentioned about the figure skater, it's kind of like, you know, it's the parallel almost of the Summer Games to Simone Biles, where she just went, nah, I'm out, don't care. I've got, you know, bigger fish to fry. Want to look after my mental health? I'm not competing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the world was on her shoulders, and she just went, nah, I'm gonna go chill out.
She's pretty classy too. Yeah. Well, you think of that, the pressure. I mean, I just can't imagine how they hold up again to these, but yeah.
Well, because these athletes, like it's, I know they compete throughout the 4 years in between, and there's, you know, yearly titles and all those sorts of things, but the pressure that these guys are under to win a gold medal, and, you know, some guys, most competitions, they get three runs if it's the, you know, the snowboarding or the any of the skating things, or but yeah, a lot of the figure skating or, you know, the marathon events, any of those, they get one go in 4 years, and that pressure must be huge.
Yeah, I just can't imagine.
No football one week at a time.
Yeah, right. Well, that made me think of Michaela Schifrin, who was our U.S. skier too, and she crashed in two of her early events, and the same thing. I just don't like the buildup that they you know, you're sitting there, even, you know, I don't follow a lot of skiing other times of the year, and there's so much pressure on them. They're saying, oh, they're the number one and the gold medal favorite and blah blah blah, and it's like, just let us watch, you know. It's like, and then you see her crash, and it's just horrible. And so that stood out to me too. Just, I just can't imagine what they feel, you know. I mean, she's, who knows? She seemed like she took it pretty well, but we don't know, you know. It's just, it's hard. And we kind of, did you finish what other things you were saying about your, Forever, Jack, as far as other thoughts about it, or were you, cause we kind of got into the middle of that. Cause I had one other.
No, I'm pretty much, if I think of something, I'm like, come back in, but no, I'm all good.
Yeah. I was saying, I thought they were okay. I did, at the end I had taped some, and then my tape wasn't working, so I missed a lot of the last few days. But besides the Camila and Michaela, I also, which I mentioned earlier about favorites, but this is also in the Forever, was watching Shaun White again in his final competition. It was like I was very emotional about that. And then I did enjoy, so it's Eileen Gu. For some reason, mm-hmm. I wrote Elaine Gu. I just really liked her. And I love Chloe Kim, who's the snowboarder. And then Nathan Chen was really fun seeing his figure skating, his gold medal routine.
I liked his music choices.
Yeah. What was his final one? It was a good one. I forget.
I think it was a medley of Elton John's.
Elton John. Yeah. So, yeah, those are some of mine. What about you, Jeff?
Well, that leads me into some of my favorites. I like this year, especially that figure skaters were allowed to use songs with lyrics in them. I think that was a new thing this Olympics. Like, I think it all had to be instrumental only in previous years. So there were a couple routines that I just enjoyed for the soundtrack and the pageantry of them, in particular Madison Chalk and Evan Bates. They were pairs skaters. They did a routine to Daft Punk music off their Random Access Memories album, which is one of my favorite albums of all time. And then Katharina Mueller and Tim Dieck of Germany, they were in costumes inspired by the Joker.
I missed all that.
I don't think they placed that high, but I saw them. They were skating on one of the first few days, and one of the songs in their routine was Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes. And I'm like, you don't hear that song too often on
ice skating. It's not typical figure skater music, is it?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I wonder how that plays with the judges, and how much of that thing, like, because I know that sort of thing, it obviously is something that they'd be well aware of, how much they think of what's this going to do with the judges, whether the judges just go, that's not a figure skating song, and just switch off.
Yeah.
I feel like they could have done that maybe like 20 years ago, but recently they've really like drilled down on how the judges have to score. Like, there's very specific things, you know, because there used to be corrupt judges who would, you know, just vote for specific countries. And now there's like no two ways about how.
Yeah, I'm sure the
scoring goes.
Yeah. The Olympics is probably a lot more strict than, say, FIFA.
Yeah. Not entirely, but there's still some corruption. But not as much in the figure skating scoring, at least anymore. And then I also really loved the my favorite curling match was the bronze women's match. So not even the going for third, there was a lot of excitement. Sweden won that match. And on the very last shot of the game, the skip, the one who throws the rock, she joined in for the sweeping. Usually it's just the two sweepers, but apparently everyone can sweep if they need to. And they got this, I think they were losing by one, and they got the stone right exactly where they needed to be to get the win by 1 point. I think it was by one. It was a close match. And Yeah, Anna Hasselberg is the name of Sweden's skip. So that was she's my new crush. I think she's married and has a kid. So I don't think that's but I can I don't think I'll have any chance with her, unfortunately. But
well,
I enjoyed watching her on the ice, at least. One thing I noticed about the Winter Olympics is compared to the Summer Olympics is how many of the events are one athlete at a time. Like even the racing events, you know, like downhill skiing, for the most part, it's one skier goes, then the next skier goes, you know, compared to track and field or swimming where it's all
a lot of eight relays
of the finalists at once.
Which makes it a little more exciting because when you're just seeing one person, it's
And it also means the events are longer. So I think it makes the TV coverage trickier. Like the final of the 400 meters, for example, on track and field takes just a minute. I mean, there's the buildup as the athletes come on and the announcers tell you the storylines, but you know, just the downhill event, it takes each skier maybe like a minute and a half to go down. But if there's 20 of them, then like a minute in between, it takes like an hour to get through the final.
Yeah, so long.
So are you guys planning on watching much of the Paralympic Games that start, the Winter Paralympic Games that starts, I think, this week or next?
Yeah, so I believe March 4th is the start date. This episode, which is the day, which is today that we're recording, or actually it's yesterday for you, Jack, but it's 2 days ago for people who are listening the day that this episode drops. So I was planning on watching at least some of it. The most recent Summer Paralympics were the first time I ever watched any TV coverage of Paralympics because I just hadn't really had it on my radar. I think there's a decent amount of coverage on NBC this year, fortunately,
which is good now, because like the stories that these guys have, some of them at least far eclipse, you know, the trials and tribulations that some of the, you know, I don't want to say normal athletes, but the you know, standard Winter Olympic athletes face. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that they get to and just the things that they can do on one leg or, you know, whatever impairment they have is quite astonishing sometimes when you watch them going at, you know, more than 45 degrees on an angle on one ski and go, how is that possible?
Yeah. Wow. Is that, do you know what that's broadcast on, Jeff?
I think there's daily coverage on USA and then on maybe Saturdays and Sundays, I think NBC is having like a primetime special.
Okay.
And also on Peacock as well. I think they're showing live events as, like they did with the Olympics. All right. I think unless anyone has any other Olympics thoughts, I think we'll wrap it up. Okay. So that brings us to the very final stages of That's Entertainment. And we let myself and Aunt Beth promote anything we've got going on, as well as our guests, if we happen to have any, and we do on this episode. So, and also throw out any recommendations we might have by answering the question, is there anything you'd like to recommend the individual with your aunt and or nephews? So Jack, anything to promote or recommend?
A couple of things to promote. Obviously, as you mentioned at the top, I'm host of the Greendale Humor Podcasters. So if you enjoy the TV show Community and want to dive back into those good old days, we are almost done with season two. We've only got a couple more episodes left there. I will also be starting an F1 podcast this year with Brad, who is one of my co-hosts on Greendale Humor Podcasters. So that's going to be kicking off in the next couple of weeks. That's going to be called Let F1, Them Race.
Is that Formula One racing?
Formula One. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, big sports fan there. Otherwise, if you're a fan of Letterkenny, I'd like to promote the produce stand. They're a Letterkenny podcast, and they do a really good job. So if you're a fan of that Canadian TV show, then go and check them out. They do a really good job. They do a what they call their Ag Hall Social, which they invite all their listeners to join in on. So I'll be doing that at 1 o'clock today. It's now 10 o'clock, so I've got a day full of podcasting. But yeah, they do a really really cool job of that. Otherwise, no, I'm just looking forward to it's as mentioned, I'm a big sports fan, and the English Premier League's really heating up. My football seasons here are about to start because we're heading into winter. So that's really exciting. Yeah, that's kind of all I've got going on.
Well, I never have anything to promote, but I always have a few recommendations for upcoming shows usually. So there's The Adam Project with Ryan Reynolds on Netflix. I don't know too much about that. Then there's a Lucy and Desi, which is a documentary on Amazon Prime directed by Amy Poehler. So I was anxious to see that. My sister-in-law, your mom, will be proud to know that I just finished Downton Abbey, the sixth season. Like
just in time for the next movie.
Yeah, so the new movie's coming out soon, A New Era. I'm not sure of the exact date. So, and then the last thing every year is one of my favorite shows on PBS. It's called The Midwife, and that starts March 20th.
What season is that in now?
11, I think.
Oh,
I
boy.
Think it was, yeah. I had heard somebody thought the season 10 was the last, but no, it's coming back. So
actually, I'm really, really enjoying Snowpiercer at the moment. Do you guys watch that? I believe that's Netflix.
What's it called?
Snowpiercer.
Oh,
Sean Bean on the trains.
It's actually on TNT.
I saw them. That was Netflix a movie, down, right? First.
Yeah.
I saw the movie, but I haven't watched the show.
The new season's coming out episode by episode at the moment, so I've been really enjoying that. Still recommend that. And then if you are a Formula One fan, March 11, Drive to Survive, the next season, which highlights all the stuff that happened last year, is a really cool prelude to the start of the season. And that's always very interesting, hearing the drivers bicker about each other.
I'll promote, as usual, we have a Patreon. If you'd like to support us that way, there's a link in the show page, so you can click on that. And Ken Jeong, as usual, you still have an open invitation to guest on this podcast whenever you'd like to. It can be to discuss one of your shows, or it could be to discuss anything else. You seem like someone
just
who watches
good
everything.
Ken Jeong is. He's awesome.
Yeah. We already mentioned the Paralympics, but I'll mention it again because I think that could be an enjoyable thing to watch with your family. If you enjoyed watching the Olympics, why not the Paralympics as well? Okay. Yeah, and I'll also recommend listening to Greendale Human Podcasters. I'm rewatching Community, and I'm right where you guys are. So I kind of started my rewatch at the beginning of the pandemic, but then got stuck, and then I realized, hey, wait a minute, the Aussie Community podcasters are about to catch up with me. So I'll make sure I get my rewatch back to a weekly schedule. So,
awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Welcome, and I was glad to have you. Thank you for making time.
Yes.
Not a problem. I'm always happy to get back in touch with my Australian connection after spending a few formative months in the country. That's the wonderful conclusion, the riveting conclusion of another That's Entertainment episode. Be back with us next time.
Plus, I love your accent. I know you probably don't want to hear that, but I just love it. Australian accent is one of my favorites. So, but anyway, yes. We'll be back in a few weeks.
Yeah, we'll probably have a few mini episodes in between, but yeah, we'll let our fans know what we've got cooking once it comes out of the oven. But yeah, in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You could leave us a review. We'll read it on air if you have anything to say. And okay, let's say good salutations to everyone.
What is good night?
Jack, would you like to say goodbye as well?
Oh, goodbye. Sorry. I thought that was your little thing. I was letting you go. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes, good to have you.
You're very welcome. Okay. And yes, that's all settled. Keep your remotes handy and your eyes open.